This is 5-on-3. Center ice for all things Islanders.
Welcome back to the post Four Nations face-off edition of 5-on-3. I'm still fired up from last night, the big Canada win, and I know my two co-hosts here are too. I'm Lydia Perter, joined here alongside Jack
That's
Warner
mean.
And Grace McCarron. We have a great, great tournament to discuss about the best-on-best extravaganza. But before we get into any of that, how are we feeling after last night, fellas?
I've been better in a hockey sense before.
Really?
But, well, yeah, a few times, but not that many times. But it was a fantastic tournament. We'll get into it. It was a lot of fun. Really great to see how many people who, like, don't watch hockey watching hockey. My grandma, who's 85 and, as far as we know, has never watched hockey, asked my mom yesterday, you know, Judy, what channel is Four Nations on tonight? So that was awesome.
That's awesome.
That was electric. Whole family is getting into it. And, yeah, but wasn't happy with the outcome. So
yeah, I can't say I was too thrilled with the outcome. In fact, me, fellow Rangers beat reporter Lou Orlando, along with, you know, assistant station manager Will Talent, we were coming back from a co-ed intramural basketball game that we lost that.
Oh, was that to Chris Carino's team?
Yeah.
He was
but,
telling me about
oh my,
that.
Well, he can't flaunt too much. He wasn't there. He needs to show up. I don't know where he was. He was missing in action. All his guys carried the weight, but nah, they were really good. But we're on our way home. We're like heads together watching my phone screen to make sure we don't miss anything. We watch the end of the regulation on the walk home. Probably get back into our apartment right after like the final high danger chance from Austin Matthews, and then we watch it go back and forth real intense, and finally we see the ending, which was a tough one. But again, you can't leave the best player in the world unattended
wide
in the
open.
Slot. You can't
wide
do that
open.
But no, again, like, I can't remember the last time, besides maybe like a Patriots Super Bowl, because I'm a Boston guy. Besides that, like, I can't remember the last time that I'm sitting in the middle of February with my heart thumping out of my chest,
yeah,
watching a sporting event, which,
yeah,
I think was really cool and really rewarding. And it was awesome just to see like how well this did in its first year. I feel like a lot of times when sports leagues try some new things, you and you see some experimenting being done with skills comps and all-star games, they knew that the NFL Pro Bowl was kind of a joke, so they tried the skills comp, and like, it's still not great, but it's like, I guess it's better than this 59-56 Pro Bowl game that they're playing. This was so cool for it to be like firing on all cylinders in the first year. Like, there's really not much I would have changed. Maybe some small little things here and there. Maybe they should have let Quinn Hughes play. But then again, Sanderson scored, made me some money on DraftKings. The show's not about gambling though. But no, again, I couldn't have been any more pleased with the product that we got over these 2 weeks. It was unbelievable.
Well, there was legitimate concerns in about the Four Nations from a business standpoint for the months leading up to the tournament. But if you look at what happened, the NHL might have accidentally created the greatest marketing campaign hockey has literally ever seen in this tournament. Like Grace, you were mentioning, there was the amount of people watching these games that are not hockey fans that might now be hockey fans just because of how great of a spectacle and how great these games were. I can't imagine the NHL spent that much money on their marketing campaign. So not only did they not spend that much money on their marketing campaign, they found a way to make the National Hockey League more reputable and much better, a league that has been pretty stuck for growth for a long time.
It's also a specialty that the NHL has that they need to continue to leverage. And that is, you know, when you look at the NBA, it's majority American. It's still, there's a lot of great overseas talent. There's German talent, Serbian talent. There's some Asian talent. Like there's African talent, but it's mostly American guys in the NBA. You look at baseball. Yes, they're in a bit of a renaissance right now where you're seeing a lot more Japanese players enter the forefront, which I think is awesome. But even baseball, it really just kind of boils down to United States of America and then countries throughout Central America. And even football, it's pretty much just American.
Yeah.
So when you look throughout the Big Four, hockey has a really special breakdown where it's not as much that they have a ton of nations represented, but they have it where it's not just freakishly American across the board. There's a lot of Russians. There's a lot of Germans. There's a lot of Canadians. There's a lot of Swedish. There's a lot of Finland. There's all sorts. It's a nice, like, decently – I'm sure there's – I don't have the breakdown in front of me. I'm sure – the Americans might have a slight edge in how many Americans there are in the NHL, but at the same time, like, they have it where Americans is not enough of a majority to where they can break it up into a tournament like this and it'd be so much fun. A lot of times when you look at, like, the World Baseball Classic, like, there's Team Netherlands in the World Baseball Classic, and the only one that they get is, like, Xander Bogaerts because he was born there. But, like, you know what countries are going to come out victorious ahead of time with World Baseball Classic. You looked at these rosters in this tournament. Even Finland, that was looked at as the weakest link, was a wagon.
Yes.
Like, there wasn't a bad team in this tournament.
No.
So I think they have a very special thing. The NHL has something very special that they need to continue to leverage, and that is a very even international breakdown, which I think was very, very present here.
Yeah, you could see that, like, very clearly throughout the game, especially, like, I think it was either the first or second game, like, on that Canadian power play. I don't remember which game this was, actually. But I was just like, wow, like, you really have the greatest players in the world.
Like, the very first power play where they scored 9 seconds?
Yes.
Unreal.
We were watching that. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was awesome. That's really what the sport's about, too. And that's how you get people into hockey. In a country that is so, so focused on football, which I love. But, like, hockey is so fun. And to see, like, people who just don't watch hockey, like, throw their pride behind their country, even in whatever political situation we're in right now, throw their pride behind their country, be like, yeah, I love that guy on the Toronto Maple Leafs, even though I hate the Toronto Maple Leafs, you know, like, that kind of thing. I had to support these players that are just on teams that I don't like, but it was awesome.
I'm not kidding, like, I had to, because the one that was the most fun for me, like, as a fan of rooting for the American team, was, like, Brady Tkachuk was awesome in this, and was so much fun to watch. I've been so vocal about my disdain towards Brady Tkachuk. He's always a rat. He's always in the middle of some stuff. I feel like what people think Brad Marchand is, Brady Tkachuk actually is. And he's doing it younger in his career. But, like, it was so fun rooting for players. Again, I was cursing Matty Tkachuk when he's knocking out the Bruins in the playoffs a couple years ago. And here I am, like, this is so sick, seeing the Tkachuk brothers dap each other up in the penalty box after back-to-back fights. Like, it was so much fun. I was even talking to my dad about it on the phone. I was like, this Canadian team is sipping champagne out of the trophy tonight and go right back to hating each other tomorrow. Like, that's what's crazy. Some of these guys might fight each other over the rest of the course of the season, but it's about playing for the country, which I think is super cool. And I'll leave you with this. My dad texted me this. I'm sitting in the middle of, I was with Nick Palmer, I was with Will Talent, and a couple of other friends of ours. We were sitting in a great establishment right in Midtown Manhattan called Mulligan's. It's one of our favorites.
Fantastic.
And we were watching the game, and my dad texts me, and he says, and I quote, "Just seeing the 3 to 4 minutes that I've seen so far, MLB, NFL, and NBA should all be ashamed of their all-star product."
Yeah,
and I think he hit the nail right on the head. I get injury concerns. I get it. Like, don't get me wrong, I'm a Boston fan. We just got McAvoy. Who knows when he's coming back? That actually sucks a lot. At the same time, like, seeing the intensity in what's supposed to be an all-star game, nothing about that felt like an all-star game. That felt Stanley Cup level intensity, and that's how you grow viewership. That's what gets people to watch your games.
Well, one of the big concerns going into the tournament was, were players going to take it seriously? Were they actually going to play hard? I mean, now you had Quinn Hughes and Alex Pietrangelo drop out of the tournament, and I was reading an article from Bleacher Report earlier, and there was, like, the biggest winners of the tournament was the replacement defenseman, so Jake Sanderson and Thomas Harley, because, I mean, I can't imagine being Quinn Hughes or Alex Pietrangelo, like, slightly injured but could have played through it, watching how incredible the games were and the tournament was, and not,
I mean, like, I turned that down.
Yeah, like, I don't think people were expecting this, but in terms of ratings, I have it right here for last night's game. So ESPN averaged 9.252 million viewers for Thursday's Canada-United States Four Nations Championship game, which is the most watched non-Olympic hockey game on record.
Wow.
And then across the U.S. and Canada last night, the game drew 16.1 million viewers, nearly matching last year's Stanley Cup Game 7 viewership. But you got to think, this game, more than that Game 7, people were watching in groups. People, you know, went to a restaurant, went to a friend's house because it was a country thing rather than, you know, just throwing on Panthers, Oilers. I think a lot of people, you know.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't take that into factor.
Like an event.
Yeah, I think that number might be, you know, significantly larger.
An event like that is Watch Party Central. Yeah. Put an ad in the front of your bar that says, hey, we're playing the game tonight, wear your country's gear. Like, that's what this kind of stuff is all about. And you see, like one of my favorite, I'm sure we didn't even, when I joked about, well, not a joke, it was serious, but when I was laughing about that we went to Mulligan's the other night, we thought about going to our favorite place down in Chelsea called the Canuck. And we were like, this place is going to be mobbed. There's no way we can go to the Canuck. The Canuck is in Chelsea. It's a Canadian-themed hockey bar. And it's awesome. But I was thinking, like, places like that, like, I'm sure the turnout was outstanding at all these places. But no, I mean, I think that's a really good observation. It probably was a lot more group viewership, which could even not quite accurately reflect how many people were actually watching the game.
I think that number half, even you know, double that.
Right. Yeah. Could be.
Easily.
Yeah.
Because if you just think of, like, the amount of people that, again, went out to watch an event like that.
Like, right. Both of our TVs were off last night.
Yeah, exactly. But so that's 16.1 million TVs that were turned on.
Yeah.
Doesn't even factor in viewership. That's just a phenomenal, phenomenal thing that the NHL did during the NHL All-Star break. People, like, the fact that you were able to do this during what is one of the most, like, down weeks of the NHL season is just incredible.
Well, and the other thing that I think was really cool about this, and we talk about how cool it is that people are back in their countries and all the ways in which, you know, there's a lot of unity in that sense. The other thing that holds hockey back from the other big four sports is that it's really one of the least relatable sports because there's so many, there can be barriers to entry. It's one of the only sports where, you know, you might not be good at every sport, but you're pretty much, just by being a human and being able to walk, you're able to play any sport you want. You can at least try.
Yeah.
Hockey's one of the only sports where just being able to walk does not allow you to play the game. You have to learn to skate to move, just to take the ice. So it takes a skill just to qualify to play for the sport. Then it takes a lot of money. A lot of times it's ice time is expensive, gear is expensive. A lot of times it's not always the most socioeconomically inclusive sport for those who play it. Anyone can watch it, but for those who play it, sometimes there's some socioeconomic barriers to the sport. So I also think it's awesome where, like, it's already a sport that, like, gets a lot of viewership in its own right, has so much history, has so much behind it. We all adore it. And it's one of the big four. It makes billions of dollars in revenue. But at the same time, it's also cool that, like, this events like these, it got just the citizen of a country behind it, which that steps like those make a sport more relatable. It makes, you know, the sport that, yeah, you might know. I love this sport and I don't know how to ice skate. Like, I couldn't go play this. I can't go play pickup hockey because I don't know how to skate. So, like, it's one of those things where, like, if I wasn't a regular viewer, but I just went and watched that just because I wanted to root for America, there's no way in hell I'm not trying to watch the NHL after that. I'm sorry. That was unreal.
Yeah. Also, like, one funny little story. I had a friend staying over on Saturday night, so that was the first of the USA-Canada. That was the first game. And I got to explain, like, the Tkachuk brothers' lore. Like, it was just awesome. It's just so fun when, like, you can get someone into it. I can explain, like, this is such an important hockey game. And I was like, one player on my favorite team is playing in this hockey game. But this is the most important hockey game that we've seen from, like, a national standpoint in a long time. And I thought that was, like, really sick.
I remember someone earlier that day, like, one of, you know, the big reporters or news outlets or something was like, you cannot miss the first 10 minutes of this game.
No.
The USA-Canada game on Saturday. And 10 minutes, 10 seconds, you couldn't miss the first 10 seconds. There were three fights in the first 9 seconds of the game. It was just, I remember, I was at home, and I was watching it with my mom, and my mom didn't, she was like, oh, I'll, you know, finish making dinner. And then I was like, no, you got to come over for the start of the game. And so she was like, okay, comes over and sits down, and instantly, like, three fights.
It was unreal.
Right away. Yeah. I was like, yeah. I had to explain to her the difference between JT Miller and Keandre Miller because she thought, she didn't realize there were two different players on the Rangers. So at least I also gave her, you know, like, a nice lesson there about the Rangers. So yeah, it was great. But I feel like now the challenge with how successful, from a business standpoint, the Four Nations was, what do you do now? So you have the Olympics next year. Then you have the World Cup of Hockey. But then, do you maybe take, like, an off year? You can't go back to the NHL All-Star game.
Yeah, I don't think you can because I don't think anyone's going to want to watch it.
No.
I mean, there'll be people that watch it. But, like, you can't have an event with a success like that that you just had and not want to keep going with it. The only thing that I find interesting will be, like, what kind of timeline will they be on? Because, like, the World Baseball Classic isn't every year either. Mm-hmm. And I think this, even though this was, the only difference is the World Baseball Classic is not an all-star game. Like, this mm-hmm. is part of the NHL all-star festivities. But part of me is also, like, maybe it would be a little sweeter if it was a little spread out. Not, like, every 5 years, but maybe, like, in every three or biannual or yeah. one of those. I don't know. I would have no problem with this being every year, though. Yeah. I mean, this would be sick. I think
you could do, like, a three-year rotation with an off year. So, put like, have a four-year hockey calendar with, like,
yeah.
World Cup, Four Nations, Olympics, World Cup of Hockey, break year. And then go back to the Four Nations and so on.
Because the other thing that wouldn't hurt is, like, it depends. Because you also have to look into the business side of things of, like, I wonder, like, how pivotal is the money that they make during the All-Star break? Like, and what I mean by that is, like, how much money are they generating off the way that the All-Star game used to be and the skills comp and all of that? Like, if they were to just wipe it out completely, right? Like you were saying, like, this three-year rotation and there's an off year, it also wouldn't be the worst thing in the world to, like, preserve bodies, to just, like, give the guys a week off,
yeah.
like, or two
yeah.
weeks off, like, once every couple of years. Like, it's just no All-Star this year. Next year they go into Four Nations or something like that. I don't know. I feel like it's one of those things that you might, like, get there and realize, like, you're sitting there in the middle of the All-Star break going, like, oh, damn, I wish there was an All-Star game. But I don't know. I think there's a ton of different directions they could take it. All I know is they have to be able to, after what they just put out there, the product they just put out there, it's got to all be about maximizing this.
Yeah, well, you know what's interesting I didn't realize is the players that played in the Four Nations, you know how every year there's, like, the All-Star break and your team usually gets, like, a five-day break?
Right. Mm-hmm.
We don't have that this year. This was the five-day break.
Yeah, no, they're playing. There's games tonight, isn't
yeah,
there?
Yeah, there's games. There's games. I think, is tonight an off night?
Let me see.
Tonight might be an off night. I'm not sure. But nonetheless, today or tomorrow.
Tomorrow they start up.
Those players that played in the Four Nations, they don't have that break that everyone else had. And usually there's both. Usually you get the All-Star break, and then some other time this season, the NHL finds a way to give you 5-6 days off. So that, I don't think it hurts. It hurts, like, the playing field, though. But that is something to consider. You know, the tax on some of these top players when it comes to not giving them, you know, that week off that they're used to.
Well, yeah, and I mean, think about it, like, these guys go right back into action tomorrow. I'm looking at just the slate that's in front of me. The Wild versus Red Wings, Boldy's got to go back. Oilers versus Flyers, McDavid goes back. Capitals versus Penguins, you got Crosby going back. Rangers, Sabres, you got four Rangers going back. Avalanche, Predators, you got McKinnon and McCarr going back. Like, it definitely is. Like, that's the other reason I have a lot of appreciation for this event, is that, like, these guys all signed up for this and were, like, up for this. Like,
yeah.
I mean, these guys, these are the best stars in the game that, like, really could use their rest probably. And they were like, nah, we just got to go duke it out and keep playing hockey. Like, I feel like you could only get this kind of product out of an All-Star game. I'm sure any guy in the NHL would have fought for that opportunity and probably had FOMO watching. But at the same time, like, it takes a different type of competitor to want to do this, like, to spend that entire 2 week break continuing to get their brains beat in playing hockey.
Yeah. I mean, did you see McAvoy reading the roster or the starting lineup pregame, and then he started tearing up? Because
broke my heart.
Yeah,
it shattered my heart.
It's just, and a lot of the players were like, you know, this game is one of the biggest games. Jack Eichel said this game, last night's game, was one of the biggest games he's played in. That guy's played in, you know, college hockey finals, Stanley Cup finals, and this is the biggest game, one of the biggest games of life. Because, you know, like we were saying earlier, this, when you put on that jersey, it means something.
Yeah,
it's cliche, but it really does mean something to these players, and that's why I don't think they were taking this tournament in vain. I think that's why they showed up and they're like, we're gonna play the game hard.
Brady said in postgame, Brady Tkachuk said in yeah. postgame, this was the most fun, some of the most fun I've had playing hockey. Like, that's a big statement out of him. Like, just, and it again, he's playing with guys that every other day of the year he hates their guts. Like,
mm-hmm,
that's special, man. Like, that's not something that you just, those guys, you know, notice how, like, it's a rough sport, it's a rough-natured sport. he wasn't out there really throwing many compliments. He wasn't even willing to say that Canada team over there is great. I'm sure he didn't even want to say that, but he was willing to say playing with this team was special. Some of the probably the most fun I've had playing hockey. That's high praise.
Yeah, and a lot of, I think there were a few Canadian players who were talking about Sidney Crosby, and they were like, we grew up watching him, like, we've looked up to him, and
Nathan
now to
McKinnon
be his team,
grew up with,
yeah,
his hero.
Like, now to be his teammate is such an amazing experience. Like, you talk about how it feels to put on the Canada jersey or the U.S. jersey or whatever, like, it's for the pride of the country, but it's also like, oh, that's your idols, and now you're playing alongside them, and it's like a boyhood dream come true for some of them, and that's just really awesome.
Well, speaking of Sidney Crosby, in 2010, Sidney Crosby scored the golden goal in the Olympics to win the gold medal for Team Canada. Now, I felt like last night was kind of like a passing of the torch moment, because before this tournament, I was like, oh, it's going to end with a Sidney Crosby golden goal.
Sidney Crosby has 40 goals, 68 assists, and a plus minus of plus 15 in 87 games versus the Rangers in his career.
Well,
nice.
I still love him. Like, I tell everyone, I used to have a Sidney Crosby calendar in my room.
Oh, wow.
Anyways, the torch was passed last night to Connor McDavid. Connor McDavid scored the overtime winner for Team Canada to win the Four Nations. What a game. We had some lead changes in the game. Canada persevered in the end and proves that when push comes to shove, it is their sport. I will say, I want to quickly give a shout out to Chaz McAdams, because last night after the game, when I went up to him in his shirt, he threatened to kick me out of his mock group because of my Canada hoodie. But it's okay. We're all friends, because it's about the game of hockey. Jordan Binnington, Jack, you probably know about Jordan Binnington at TD Garden.
I mean, he just nails in overtime.
Wall. Let's talk about that game.
Connor McDavid, that was his third goal of the Four Nations tournament. The number three is very important, because last year I watched him have a 3-point night against the Rangers at MSG.
Why are the Rangers catching so many strays right now?
Because
so
it's you that's flaunting
this
about Canada.
Is so funny.
But no, I mean, listen, there was not a more fitting moment for a game like that to end than to be on the stick of Connor McDavid. I mean, he's one of those players that there's almost nothing else you can say about him that hasn't already been said. It's one of the few times where I guess it's been said about LeBron James a couple times in basketball, which I think is really a fair comparison, except obviously McDavid's a little earlier in his career than LeBron is now, where it's like, he's one of the few players where it's not regularly changing. It's every year, hey, this is the greatest player in the sport
right
now.
He gets better every time I watch
him. He gets better every time. And I mean, it's all the little things too. It's the decisions he makes when he doesn't have the puck. It's the decisions he makes when he does have the puck. He's so fast. He's so smart. He reads traffic in front of him like no other player I've ever seen. The fact that there was even a way for him to be left unattended where he was in the middle of the ice last night, yes, is partially an indictment on the defensive play of the Americans. Also, is just the fact that, like, it's impossible to contain Connor McDavid.
Yeah.
It was a great moment for him. I hate to see it at the expense of the Americans, but at the same time, I will say, like, my heart kind of hurt for him last year in Stanley Cup. Like, that's a guy who needs a cup. I hope he wins one that's not ever beating the Boston Bruins in the Stanley Cup. Like, as long as
it's
not.
Yeah, the Bruins won't be there for
as
a
long,
while.
So. They won't be there for a while, so I don't have to worry about it. Neither will the Rangers. So, it's or the Islanders. Sorry, Grace.
Okay.
You're not getting out of here
what?
Either. But, you know, it's one of those where, like, he's just inching closer and closer and closer to getting, like, that peak that he wants, which is, I'm sure, a Stanley Cup. But, like, seeing him have that moment, being this larger-than-life figure that he's been for the last few years, I mean, it was poetic.
I feel like the one thing about hockey for years that I've argued of why it's so great is because a single player cannot single-handedly carry a team, like a LeBron James, like a Tom Brady. Connor McDavid's getting close to that.
He really is.
Which is absurd, considering, like we were talking about earlier, how tough it is to really be good at the sport of hockey, mm-hmm. just because of all the skills that go into it. Like you said, you can't just know how to walk. You got to learn how to skate. Mm-hmm. He skates like no other. He stick
He's
handles
so fast.
Like no I other. Mean... His vision, it's everything. And I think the only player remotely close to being as good as Connor McDavid right now is Nathan MacKinnon.
Yeah.
I don't think, because those two have the speed and they have the skill, but every time you watch McDavid, he just does something new.
But that's the thing that stands out to me when I see those two together. It's the speed that gets me.
Yeah.
Seeing the way that MacKinnon, who also that first goal he had was nasty, four goals in the tournament, which honestly should have been expected. He's so good. Yeah. What I thought was pretty nasty was the way in which he was able to sort of work around. You could tell in that first period, like, the defensive approach for the USA, like, there was they were very much heavily congested in their zone. Like, it was very much they were trying to shut stuff down. There was a lot of guys in front of the net. And the way that he was able to just kind of sauce the puck through traffic and just net an early one. And I was still feeling pretty confident after that. I was like, hey, they scored first in the last one. It's fine. It's whatever. But no, I saw a crazy stat. I wish I remembered it exactly off the top of my head, but it was something about how, like, they scored five or six or seven. I don't know if it was seven. It was at least five goals in, like, the opening 4 minutes of all the games that they played in, which I think is crazy that they were able to attack that quickly in every game. Nathan MacKinnon, the way that he moved reminded me of this sick goal that I saw him score last year, because we were talking about how fast he is. He had this one goal where he weaved through, like, five Rangers defenders and went coast to coast at MSG and got
against
one pass.
Jonathan Quick?
I forget. It probably was.
Did the Rangers win that one in OT?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, laughing.
It was one of the nastiest. It was one of the nastiest goals I've ever seen.
I was
there.
Their recall is outrageous.
I was there too. But it was cool to see, you know, him. It was cool to see him beat up the Rangers. It wasn't cool to see him beat up the Americans.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, I was gonna say, like, Connor McDavid is Connor McDavid's absolutely, outside of the Islanders, of course, Connor McDavid, favorite player. I mean, just watching him play, that's the kind of thing that I think, like, to take it back to the
that's the kind of player Grace wants on the Islanders.
I mean, yes.
I want him on my team.
Goes without saying that Connor McDavid as an Islander would make dreams
come
true.
I want $100 million too. Like, I want to win the lottery too.
Yeah. But that's the kind of thing, to take it back to, like, the viewership. Like, he's the kind of player that should be appointment viewing at this point. Like, we talk about Aaron Judge in baseball when he was on that crazy run last season. Connor McDavid, especially as part of Team Canada, and especially in the Stanley Cup playoffs, should be appointment viewing for people. Even if you're not super into hockey, appointment viewing.
I mean, he's a once-in-a-lifetime talent. Yeah. Like, you don't see... And, like, even the greats of the sport that we're probably going to, like, obviously see retire pretty soon in the next couple of years, like, there's things about McDavid's game. I'm not saying he surpassed them yet, but there's things about McDavid's game that you can say right now. There's things that McDavid is doing that only McDavid can do. And you even heard Gretzky say it too. Gretzky has said that McDavid does things I didn't dream of doing. And, like, that's crazy praise to get. And it's unique. I don't think any other sport really has that right now.
I think
a player
like
that.
When
except maybe LeBron.
Talk, when analysts talk about McDavid, like, they're whether it's Gretzky, Messier, or, you know, they're like the Granato, you know, some of the coaches on the panel. Nobody thinks that there's anyone better at, like, overall at the game than Connor McDavid, because it also is, like, it is a totally different sport than it was when Gretzky played. And I think that's, like, okay to acknowledge.
Yeah.
What Connor McDavid is doing and what he did in a best on best situation too.
The other thing that I respect so much about Connor McDavid, and I'm not saying that this is, like, every player needs to be this way, because I was also, like, if you look across other sports, like, I was also a big fan of a lot of loudmouths throughout my time as a sports fan. Like, I always loved Richard Sherman, and he was always loud and in everyone's face in the NFL. Like, I'm not saying that, like, players have to make me like them. But the other thing with Connor McDavid is, like, you hear him talk after games, and it's never, he's never treating himself like the larger than life figure that he absolutely is. Like, he's so mild mannered and chill and humble, like, extremely humble the way he talks. He's somebody who, like, really does, like, just shows it on the ice. And I'm not saying every guy has to be that way. I just find it pretty remarkable, like, the Canadian pride that he has, that he showed, like, last night, just talking about, like, how happy he was to win it with that team, win it for that country, win it coming off of the loss in Montreal in front of their home crowd to the Americans. Like, there's no reason that a guy that is as talented as him, really has the league in a chokehold like he does, should be as chill and humble as he is. And I think that that's just a testament to, like, he really is, like, a once-in-a-lifetime kind of figure on and off the ice. It's really hard. If he's tearing up your team, I can see hating him for that reason. you can't hate Connor McDavid.
No.
You really can't.
I feel like he's like Jokic, but like cares about hockey a little more than Jokic. For sure. About basketball.
That's a great way
like
to put it, yeah.
Their post games and just like their calm manners, but then they just go and back it up with their play.
And you can tell they're just happy to be there. Like, yeah. That's just what
yeah.
they do.
Yeah. But I guess another... I probably should ask this back when we were actually talking about like the logistics of the tournament. Did you guys like having the finals at TD Garden rather than like vice versa? Like the first two games at TD Garden, second two at Montreal, or was it better how it was with starting in Canada and coming down to Boston?
I didn't mind it. Like, well, okay, I might be a little bit biased because I was rooting for the U.S., so like having the championship in Boston is like pretty cool. I don't know. I could kind of see the appeal of having it end in Canada because like it is your sport.
Thanks.
I don't know. You're welcome. but I liked how it was, but I do like hearing the Canadian national anthem at the Bell Center was really amazing.
It was really
that was like
cool.
That was like making me tear up, and I like have no connection to Canada, but I was like, wow, that was unbelievable. So,
yeah,
I could see the appeal.
I think host cities are, I mean, I would guess host cities are usually a more like highest bidder type situation. So I don't know like how much they can like factor into it, like how they can control it. But like, I don't know. I think it was cool regardless. Like,
yeah.
I would worry less about the actual order in which they played at the arenas and more just about like making sure in later years that like, we see some other cities. Like, I think it'd be cool. I think anywhere in the Midwest would be insane. I think if they hosted it in Detroit, I think it'd be unreal.
You could do Detroit and Toronto.
Toronto would be unreal. Minneapolis, I think, would even be cool. Because, again, the Midwest is just hockey central. Like, I think it would be so cool. I even think if they get to a point, say, 5-10 years from now, where, like, this is just still the massive success that it was this year, I wouldn't find it the craziest thing in the world to do it in a football stadium. Like, I really wouldn't.
Yeah,
like, I think it would be really cool. Or even if it's in Toronto, do it at the Rogers Center.
Yeah.
Would be really cool. Would love to see it in New York City. Love to see it at MSG. Only problem with that, and you saw it in Boston too, it's going to be $1,000 to sit in the bleeds, which is just annoying. But again, New York City would show out for something like that too, I think. It's... Again, I'm so excited. For me, like, I'm already overwhelmed with how cool this was in its first year. I'm just so excited to see where they go with it, because I do think the possibilities are endless. Los Angeles, you could even do.
Yeah.
Like, maybe it's a little too warm and southern for, you know, a true, like, hockey event, but, like, they got the Kings down there. They got the Sharks.
And I think it's a location people would want to travel to.
Oh, for sure.
I think that's, like, something that also has to be factored.
They host everything else there.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
Super Bowls, Hollywood shows, award shows, like all that kind of stuff. Like, they host everything else there. Why not throw this on? Olympics soon. The Olympics in 2028. Like, that's going to be sick.
Yeah. But I don't know. I've seen a lot of arguing back and forth about this, and I'm like so
That's weird. I mean, I haven't been like chronically online, but like, I didn't know that there are people arguing about
not
it.
Not like the rest of us.
I'm not accusing you of doing that.
No, it's all right.
But
I deserve that.
Oh, were you chronically online?
Of course I was.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I was more just saying, like, I never noticed that people were actually like bickering about that. That's news to me.
Well, I think the whole thought was just how electric I think the game Saturday was. And I don't think that last night was necessarily a bad idea, because Boston is very close to Montreal, you know, to be, and it's easy to travel to. And I think, like,
it's very much a hockey town. Like, they love their hockey.
It was half and half. No, maybe like 35, 65.
Yeah.
But I think that's a good thing. Like, when you have a tournament like this, where it's not as much about, you know, like a Stanley Cup final, like, you don't want, if you're a Bruins fan, you don't want any opposing fans in your building.
Right.
I feel like this is a little different. You want the both sides being represented. It just makes it that much more fun. So I do think Boston was a good pick. I think a lot of Americans went up to Montreal on Saturday.
I think so.
So I just, definitely having like two host cities close together that, you know, the crazies could travel to and from, like I said, like a Detroit and Toronto could be a really cool opportunity, because isn't Detroit hockey town?
Yeah,
USA. So putting that, and then Toronto's not much farther.
I think if you go in any of the original six cities, I already did Montreal. I think if you go into any of the original six cities, I didn't even mention Chicago when I said Midwest. Like, any, I think if you go any city that was in the original six, I think you would get a great turnout. I think really think you would. One more thing I wanted to talk about the game, I don't think would, which it pains me. It absolutely pains me. I think besides the obvious, because Connor McDavid scoring in overtime is like, that's unreal. Sam Bennett was the biggest goal of that game, but outside of Connor McDavid, because the way that the tonal shift after Jake Sanderson, the guy who, like, people were low-key, like, kind of irked that Quinn Hughes couldn't take
not
his place.
Kind of. They
very
were,
irked,
they were,
yeah.
They were, like, very mad.
I'm just trying to be nice to Jake Sanderson.
Yeah.
People who are very irked that Quinn Hughes couldn't take his place goes in there and gets a huge goal to break the tie, make it a 2-1 game. I think that was, like, and it's actually kind of funny. I put $1 on Jake Sanderson anytime goal because of the dialogue. So when Lou and I saw the goal happen, we went nuts. I made $12 on a $1 bet. It was
awesome.
Unreal. But yeah, I mean, Sam Bennett tapping into his, you know, Eastern Conference Finals last year when he sent the Rangers packing. That's the last one I can think of. Lydia, you're all done. You made it through. You know, no, but seriously, like, that was a goal I don't think is getting enough love, because I don't want to say that I thought USA had it in the bag, but the tonal shift, the USA chance after Jake Sanderson scores that goal, the fact that it was Jake Sanderson that scored that goal, it felt like such a tonal shift. And the Sam Bennett goal didn't happen for another like 7 minutes after that. So you saw a lot of back and forth play where you were like, who, like, is USA really going to finally just like take the upper hand and coast the rest of the way through? And it's like, nope, not for long.
That here third period was one of, you were getting at it. That was one of the most stressful.
Oh my God. No scoring.
We were freaking out.
My heart was pounding. I like had my hood over my eyes for like half the game. I've been like joking that was my Stanley Cup last night, because I don't think the Rangers are going to get there this year, but that was like, to have that adrenaline rush, like you were saying, in the middle of February, when, you know, you have like,
there's nothing going
on, a 10 o'clock class the next morning.
Yeah,
that was something special, and it was also funny. I remember people like being like, on Monday, not having to work and getting to watch hockey instead was like awesome, just because it was President's Day, in the U.S. So,
yeah,
just everything about this tournament has just been so fun, and again, the real winners is hockey. Like,
oh, for sure.
Just seeing, like, for example, like, Seth Jarvis's friends drove 30 hours to watch him play.
Yeah, like that's unreal.
Like,
yeah.
that's just, like, what tournaments like this just do. And I think, like, I've been saying, like, the geopolitical state of the two countries made this tournament more fun.
Yes. Yeah, it did. I found it unfortunate, but it did up the stakes.
Yeah. It's not like, oh, you know, something we should be celebrating, but just, and I think another thing is, like, there is the renewed hockey rivalry between the U.S. and Canada, and with, you know, all these events coming up, like the Winter Olympics next year in Italy, it'll be a ton of fun, and I really think it's only going to grow the sport, and it's really good for the fans. This was just a treat to watch. Again, like, I know we keep emphasizing it, but it's just, I said to you last night, I was like, it makes me so happy to just see like a bar full of people watching hockey.
Yeah.
Because I've other than like playoffs, when you go to like a specific restaurant or somewhere, like a watch party, so you're with all your other team's fans, like just seeing people that wouldn't normally be watching hockey, not just watching hockey, like getting into it.
Yeah.
Like, we were at Clinton last night. It went silent after that OT winner. Like, and that was just, like, I was happy for so many reasons, because I was like, aw, like, my team just won, but also I was like, aw, like, all these hockey fans. Jack.
Yeah,
like that
I
one.
Mean, you know, me and Kurt Sippel and Nick Palmer, shout out to them, we walked out of Clinton Hall in silence last night because
they
were so mad. We did, in fact, abandon Lydia Perner. kind of got to do what you got to do in that situation. It was not great, but it was awesome to see how involved everybody got, even, like, I mean, our friend Ida, like, who doesn't watch hockey as far as, but she was, like, watching the TV, like, what's going on? And I was like, yeah, that's awesome. Because hockey, like, is not that kind of sport. Like, obviously, everybody watches the Super Bowl because it's such a cultural event now. The World Series maybe a little bit, just because, like, I mean, last year we're all in the Bronx. Like, the Yankees were in it, blah, blah, blah. But hockey doesn't get that kind of thing.
And they were expecting, like, the ratings of last night's game to be similar to the Super Bowls.
Yeah.
Which is actually not.
That's insane. The fact that was even in the same, like, sentence.
Yeah. But, like, hockey never gets like that. I mean, except for maybe the Olympics. But, like, the Stanley Cup, like, doesn't get that kind of, like, everybody is at an establishment and watching the TV just to see what happens next. And everyone's, like, holding their breath. And it was just so, it's so electric. It's what sports is all about. Not to get corny, but it is.
I think, like,
shout out Jake Sanderson, man. Made me
for
some,
real.
Made me
that's
some
what
money.
Sports is all about.
Made me some money. I made several bets. 90% of them, or actually, no, like, all but Jake Sanderson, all of them didn't hit. And just because of the Jake Sanderson goal, I was in the green.
Jake said, I mean, Senators legend, yeah. along with Brady Tkachuk.
He's on my fantasy team.
Is he really?
It was just a random pickup I had to make.
I can't log into my fantasy portal, so I don't think I've set my lineup in like a month.
In months.
Yeah, actually. I don't know what my password is. But yeah, back to the Four Nations. I think, like, closing thoughts on this event is it was just like emotional.
Yeah.
Just how successful it was. And I was a critic of it. I was like, I was super excited of it, but I was like, I'm not sure.
I was wary.
Pull it off. But they did. And it was, they did that and so much more. That's my thought on the Four Nations. And I've been very nice to you too, not rubbing it in that the U.S. lost last night. I just want
to
put that on.
And, you know, to thank you for not being so mean to us today, I'm going to say that everybody next week should read your article in the Forum Ram about the Four Nations.
Oh, yeah.
Recap.
I will be
Everyone should read Lydia Perner's article.
TheFordomRam.com.
She's a great, both of these girls right here, great, great contributors to the Fordham Ram newspaper.
Thank you. We combine sports and business at the Fordham Ram.
That's what,
yeah.
That is our
Bang.
Two personality traits.
Anyways, on the topic of more business, how else can we grow the NHL? Expansion into New Orleans is what's recently been our thrown out headline. And Jack, you were in New Orleans.
I have takes to get off about this.
What are your thoughts? Go.
I am such a supporter of this.
I am.
First of all, I'll leave all my opinions about like everything else about the city because like I loved New Orleans, like everything,
it's an awesome
like
city.
The food, the culture, all of it. I will literally just narrow it down to one singular thing, and that is when we were driving to the convention center. When you enter the city limits of New Orleans, there's like a couple, there's several bridges. There's a couple different ways to get in there. One way, it takes you over this humongous overpass. And that's where you get this awesome, just like clear shot of the Superdome. That was like, we were taking pictures. It was all decorated for the Super Bowl. It was so cool. Right next to it, like you come down this overpass and it feeds you into the highway. And then there's a bunch of exits that loop you into the city. Right next to it, front and center, cannot miss it, Smoothie King Center, where the where the New Orleans Pelicans play. Yeah. You couldn't miss it. It was right next door to the Superdome. The setup is there. The arena is there. They don't need to build anything. Mm-hmm. All they need is a crew to set up ice and, you know, change it around. I honestly think it would be so cool to bring a team down there and, like, begin a further expansion of hockey in that part of the world. Somehow they couldn't keep a hockey team in Atlanta, which I still think to this day still blows my mind. But like, because they were able to do it in Florida, but not Atlanta. But like that, we're not just talking the South. We're talking like the Deep South. We're talking Mississippi, Louisiana.
There's a market there.
And
you're not taking it from other teams.
Well, and here's the other thing. They're also, none of those states have all four teams. Like some of them have no teams. And then some of them just have like one or two. That's the best place to expand to. People want teams to root for. Like that's awesome, I think. So I loved my trip to New Orleans. I love the culture. I think the way that it's, everything is so vibrant. The colors are very loud.
Did you get any gumbo there?
We did have gumbo and it was delicious.
Bingo.
I had blackened alligator. It was really good. But to be fair, like not to be disrespectful, it was just kind of like it just tastes like chicken, but it was good though because it was blackened in the season.
Probably someone from New Orleans or Louisiana that would like want it. Yeah, that would.
No, the texture was different than chicken, but it tasted like chicken. We had crab beignets; those were insane.
Oh yeah.
We had cornbread, which I know that's random, but like in the South, like,
no, but that yeah.
But yeah, it was really good. All the food, but man, I digress. no, like it's just like I think any of those parts of the world where like there's not already a ton of competition for sports teams, I think it's perfect. Like there's an arena that they don't need to build. It's there and it's nice and it's new because the Pelicans it was the New Orleans Hornets were down there. The Hornets relocated to Charlotte or something like it was the Bobcats in Charlotte and the Hornets in New Orleans. And then they both rebranded. Now the Hornets are in Charlotte and then the Pelicans are in New Orleans, so like it's everything's kind of new down there. I like it.
I like it a lot. I mean, you said like the cities with who don't have all four sports. And like New Orleans also, like New Orleans loves the Saints. So like you know that they can that they I mean you know that the South loves sports. Like the South loves football. Probably won't have the same reception with hockey exactly because of their intense love for football. But, like, you know that there's a market for sports, period, there. Why not try it out?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, they expanded to Vegas. They expanded to Seattle. Like, why not, you know?
I think the one argument for, you know, against expansion is always, are you going to be hurting existing markets? Mm. And you really aren't.
No.
The Lightning have established, you know, with their success, a solid fan base. The Panthers have as well. You got Dallas, same thing. They have their fan base. So you're not like the issue with Quebec and why you can never go back to Quebec is, well, for one, there's not that many people that live there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And people don't realize that. So you're going to be taking Canadians fans.
Yeah.
And that's a business issue that could lead to lawsuits. This, you're not doing that. You're coming into a market. You're coming to Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Arkansas, even Oklahoma and parts of Texas where there is no existing market and you're not taking money from other teams. Yeah. Also, who the heck wouldn't want to go to, you know, Rangers are playing in New Orleans in the inaugural season. Rangers fans are crazy. Who wouldn't want to go down there and
yeah.
spend a week in New Orleans?
City.
It's a great city. I mean, I think I was like in fifth grade when I last went, but it was awesome.
And the other thing to keep in mind, especially in a sports context, is like New Orleans is a tight-knit bunch. Like,
yeah.
Especially with Katrina. Like, after mm-hmm. Katrina, that city is so, I feel like, unified. And they love rallying behind their sports teams, even when they're not good. Like, Saints fans are so passionate.
Yeah.
Even the collegiate sports, like LSU fans are
LSU
so
fans
passionate.
Are nuts. Yeah.
And there's so much just, like, rallying behind their teams and, like, rallying behind each other because they had to after they get rocked by Katrina. Mm-hmm. So, like, I also just love the support that they show down there and the passion that they have. That, like, I think it's an awesome opportunity.
I think, obviously, Bettman hasn't really said anything on it, but the actual city, the governor, they're all hands on deck. They're like, you know, if Bettman will give us a team, we're ready to take that on. There's a ton of logistics, obviously, that goes into an expansion draft and all of that stuff. So we're not very close to necessarily seeing that come to fruition, but the fact that it's being talked about, I think, is a really, really cool idea. And just quickly before we wrap, NHL action resumes tomorrow. Final push to the playoffs, trade deadline, so a lot of stuff's coming up. Grace, do you want to give me like a quick blurb on the Islanders and what you want to see from them the coming weeks?
Oh, sure. So, all right, Islanders are still pretty injured. They kind of crawled into the break injury-wise. Guys just kept going down. Pulak, Hogberg, Varlamov is out indefinitely. We're clearly not seeing him for a very long time. But they're starting to come back. Dobson was in a full contact jersey, so he can be activated for the game against the Rangers on Tuesday.
Like two games, Rangers-Islanders games coming up.
Yeah. And unfortunately, I can't go on Tuesday because of the Ram, but that's okay.
Oh, no. That's
I know. It's a terrible conflict, but
I'll do it for you.
You should. So Scott Mayfield, same thing. He's hoping to be available for their first game back from the break against Dallas on Sunday. Hudson Fashing participating. So guys are starting to come back. But you still have a few concerns. Matt Barzal, I don't know when we're going to see him again. They might have to put him on long-term injured reserve just to clear roster space. They just waived Dennis Cholowski yesterday as well. And then obviously you have the trade deadline coming up, and we're still wondering if Lou is going to trade like Brock Nelson, Kyle Palmieri. Probably not at this point. Probably not going to do that. You know, Isles Nation has their opinions on whether it's a good idea or not. And the power play is still really bad. That's kind of... That just goes.
That's everything?
That's kind of it, yeah. Hopefully they can continue on their little hot streak that they had before the break. But, yeah, that's it.
Anything about the Rangers, Jack?
I mean, it's all or nothing right now because they're coming back from the break three spots out of the wild card. So it's going to come down to, is Igor fully ready to go? I think it was, if he had to get hurt, it was perfect that it came right before the All-Star break, which is not while they're playing. I think they dodged a major bullet there. So it sounds like he should be generally ready to go come tomorrow and into next week. But yeah, I'm curious to see what they do at the deadline. I think that there might be still some trades left to be made. I think that could happen based on who's available on the market. But no, I mean, they're going to have to prove it, because they got the Bruins ahead of them, who are kind of in a very similar position to them, where like they're not playing as good as their roster really says on paper. You got a really young, like fun Blue Jackets team that's one spot out of the wild card. You got the Red Wings, who came out of nowhere and are now in the second wild card spot. And then you got the Senators, who I think are going to continue to hold the wild card spot and get a wild card spot. So it's all or nothing now. It really is. They're going to have to be able to gel. I think JT Miller is going to have to play a huge role, because I think he's going to need – he already sort of shook things up in the few games that he had before, you know, the All-Star break. And, you know, looked good against Boston. So it's going to come down to, can they sort of just get back in and find their stride? Cause they really never were able to fully find their stride in the first half. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. I pretty much agree with everything you said. So I'll be the Devils representative quickly, just so that Devils fans don't get mad. They were very inconsistent before the Four Nations break, but I don't think the Blue Jackets or Rangers are catching them, or the Islanders. So they're good. They got to get their guys back healthy. Markstrom sat out of the Four Nations, so that's why Team Sweden didn't have as good of a showing as they wanted to. But get him healthy, get Nico Hischier healthy, and they will be fine. But on that note, Team Canada wins the Four Nations. NHL hockey will be resuming tomorrow, but for Grace McCarron and Jack Warner, I'm Lydia Punter. That's all we have time for today on this week's edition of 5-on-3. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you all next week when the Rangers are in a playoff spot.
Good God.